Welcome to Growing Hope with Catherine Lang, coming to you from the rolling hills of Big Spring Valley in beautiful Alabama. Catherine Lang offers words of encouragement and hope to help grow up lives boldly pursuing peace and joy. Catherine seeks out the rainbows of life while sharing her lollipops of encouragement along her journey. Here on Growing Hope, she features words to help hope and grow courage, all while challenging herself and listeners to radical choices and bold purpose. This is Growing Hope with Catherine Lang, where we are growing hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. And now, here's your host, Catherine Lang.
Hello there, and welcome to Growing Hope Radio. I am Catherine Lang, your rainbows and lollipops host, your hope builder, dream inspirer, word lover, relationship sage, and aficionado of inappropriate laughter. Because I was talking to someone the other day, and we were talking about how laughter can make such a difference in whatever aspect we're facing in our lives. So I try to always find a way to laugh, and in the situations that I come up on, it's not always appropriate, but laughter sparks hope. And once hope finds a way in, then it all becomes possible. So it is important that we find a way to laughter.
Creativity takes courage. Being creative means you have to step outside the normal way of doing things. You can't do what is expected, what the world calls normal. And stepping outside normal, especially if you're on your own, can be a very scary step to take. The creative spirit has to be willing to see things a new way. They have to look at things from a unique perspective. They can't stay in the world's view. A creative spirit that's left without courage is eventually going to crumple up in the corner, and they're going to cower under the gaze that the world puts on them. I've seen it happen before my very eyes. I've seen it happen in the people around me, and it's not a pretty sight to see. I never want to watch creativity be crushed again, and I never want you to have to experience that in your life. And that's why I chose the journey of nurturing creativity by growing encouragement. Now, over the next several minutes, I'm going to touch on 6 primary points that will help you grow and understand encouragement. The first step is simply going to be about the basis of encouragement, understanding encouragement. Once you know how encouragement works and how it's put together, then you'll be able to put it to practice in your life. The next point is going to be the power of words. We say and do so many things in our lives, and we think so many things in our lives, and sometimes we mean them and sometimes we don't mean them. But without fully understanding the force that comes behind those words, we can never use our words correctly. The next point that we're going to talk about is recognizing discouragement. Because if you don't know what you're dealing with, you can't deal with it. So you have to learn to see discouragement in order to be able to combat it. And then we're going to see how discouragement will actually stifle creativity in the people that you love. What discouragement does to the creative spirit. Our fifth point is going to be encouraging the encourager. Pouring encouragement out onto the lives of the people around us is like sucking the energy out. And if you don't refill that energy, then eventually you're not going to be able to encourage others, and you're going to become discouraged yourself. And the final thing that we'll touch on today is tips for developing a habit of creativity. I mean, a habit of encouragement that builds creativity. Now, this is a journey that we're going to take together. So I've put together this PowerPoint for you, but I also have the downloads that you can get to, the worksheets that you can get to that'll have fill-in-the-blank questions and answers and spots for you. I also want you to feel free to ask me questions along the way. Just, you know, put question in bold, and I will try to notice that, but I will warn you ahead of time, I'm a talker, and sometimes I may not notice that, so don't be offended. I will save time at the end of our presentation to ask questions, talk, give suggestions, and just have a good old sit down. So let's just jump right on in to the encouragement that's waiting for us. Okay, becoming an encourager means you have to understand encouragement. Now, I have always pictured encouragement with a short skirt and pom-poms, you know, the cheerleader. And although cheering someone on to the finish line is part of encouragement, it's really not the essence of encouragement. Encouragement goes way beyond just the cheering. When you break down the word encourage, you have in, which means, of course, into, but then you have courage. And courage means to inspire with hope, or to inspire with courage, or to inspire with confidence. So at its very heart, encouragement is about using your thoughts, your attitudes, your words, and your actions to inspire other people onto victory, onto more than they ever thought that they could be. Now, it's not just a matter of telling somebody that they can do it, but it's about creating that feeling in their hearts, having it settled in their very being, and that so that they know that they know that they know they can do it. I was a coach in a former life for a swim team, and I had a bunch of natural swimmers that would win golds, medals, and go on and compete at the higher levels. And then I had some of those swimmers that I like to call my sinkers, you know, that weren't really particularly good swimmers, and sometimes just finishing the race or getting to the other side of the pool was an accomplishment. And there was this one particular fellow I remember. He was 13 years old, and he had never been on a swim team in his life. I'm not even real sure he had ever swam across the pool in his life, and he was one of my sinkers. Now, after practicing with him, and when I put him in his first race, I did not doubt that he could finish that race. But I put him along a lane that I could walk beside him. And I did. I walked every step of that race with him. I told him he could do it. I encouraged him. I told him how many more steps how many more strokes he had to go. I never left his side. And when he got to the end, we pulled him out and we congratulated him, told him what a great job he had done. See, he was not in the race to win the race against all those natural swimmers that had been practicing all their lives. He was in the race to finish the race. He had won his race. Sometimes being an encourager is not just about pushing them on to win, but it's about recognizing their goals and encouraging them to exceed their goals. By the end of the season, that same swimmer would come up to me and tell me how many seconds he had taken off his time. He began to see beyond what he thought was his limits and started to see the possibilities. Encouraging is about possibility thinking. Now, coaches are driven to win. Most coaches, that's all they think about, is their winning record as a coach. And this force pushes them to bark and scream and jump up and down and really push the team to be first. It's that need to be first that drives words, actions, attitudes, and thoughts. But true encouragement the encouragement that we're called to really build creativity in the lives of ourselves and the people around us, looks way beyond that. It looks beyond self and what self wants and needs. It requires doing away with I. A few years back, we had a Bible study in my home for some women, some homeschool moms. And the first thing I did when they all arrived is I gave them an index card with the capital letter I on it. And we used this index card during our discussions whenever someone would start shifting the focus to self with the I statements, like I want, I need, I did, I. Anytime that came up, someone, or oftentimes a lot of someones, would hold up their I card. The I card was a physical reminder to whoever was talking that the focus had to be shifted. Get off self. Let's focus outside self. Encouragement is based in service. You cannot serve others. Sorry, forgot about my PowerPoint. You cannot serve others if you're spending time and your time and energy focusing on self. So you have to be willing to step outside yourself. Stepping outside doesn't have to be painful, and it really doesn't have to be all that difficult. Simple things will give you the ability to step outside yourself. Here are just a few of the things that I've thought about. Give unexpected affection. How many of us have had a tough day and had one of our children come up unexpectedly, especially an older child, and give us a hug or a kiss or just a pat on the back or just hear them say, I love you? You know, these unexpected affections can make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. It doesn't matter what you faced before, that one unexpected touch from someone reminds you that you're not alone. And so you need to start thinking about right now ways that you can give unexpected affection to the people that you need to encourage. Maybe you need to give an unexpected hug or a high five or a pat on the back. Unexpected affection will connect you to the person that you need to encourage and open up the door for possibilities.
Growing Hope Radio is going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue on this journey about nurturing creativity through courage. Got hope? Growing Hope seeks to instill the courage that your heart needs to live out the bold life grounded in hope. The monthly newsletter offers tips, inspirational stories, and scriptures to help grow up hearts that are open to pursue the extraordinary. Visit katherinelang.com/promotion and sign up and receive a moment of hope, the Growing Hope monthly newsletter.
The music for this production was created by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by attribution.
The sound of the door unlocking made her heart speed up. Her reasonable mind told her there was nothing on the other side, but reason had lost its argument long ago. It was time to face the past, no matter how much she wanted to run. Run, the pulse-quickening first novel in the Big Spring series from Catherine C. Lang. Don't look back. Get it today in paperback or ebook at Amazon.com or KatherineLang.com. Run.
R&D Computer Solutions serves all of your computer needs. We can repair or upgrade your existing computer or help you set up that new system. We also offer web hosting services or can assist you in creating your website from the ground up. Our goal is to help you get the most out of your computer, whether it is for fun, for the family, or for work. R&D Computer Solutions, family owned and family operated. Visit www.rdcss.com to talk to us about all of your computer needs.
You are back with Growing Hope Radio, and I am still Catherine Lang, and we're going to continue on this journey of nurturing creativity by growing courage in the hearts of the people around us.
You also want to provide words of praise. Words of praise, we'll be talking about words more because I really, really believe in the power of words. I think that the power of words, once you can master that, it's one of the most important steps you can take in every aspect of your life. But right here, this is just those simple phrases that you can use. That a boy, you did good, thank you, I appreciate what you're doing. Just simple words of praise. Think about it. What's the most important word of praise that you've received recently? I'll tell you that last night I was grading papers, and my son had to write an essay about the person that inspired him. Now, granted, they do attempt every now and then to butter up the teacher, but he had written about how his mom inspired him. And one of the things that he wrote was that I get up and turn the heat up for them in the morning so that they don't have to get up to a cold house. It was a very simple phrase. I really don't even know if he meant it to encourage me, but it did so much for my heart to know that he noticed the little things. So those words of praise mean something. You also want to acknowledge people to show that they're important to you. And acknowledgement goes beyond words of praise. Acknowledgement is an action word. It's about putting down the book or turning off the computer or turning away from the laundry and focusing on the person. That focus tells that person, you are more important to me than any of this. So you want to step outside self. You have to be willing to acknowledge the person that you're speaking to. The most important thing you can do that's going to help you step outside self is prayer. You want to pray for the good, the positive, and the uplifting of others. And you'll hear that phrase a lot from me. There's nothing more important in your life than your personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. The prayer time that you spend with God, it may not seem like it's doing a lot for the people around you, but if it's doing nothing else, it is pouring out positive energy into their lives from yours. Spending time in prayer is the thing that's going to change your heart and your attitude towards others. And that change is going to reflect in how they view not only you, but the world. And it's going to open the door for you to be able to encourage them to reach their excellency. Have you ever walked in and overheard somebody praying for you? Or have you ever had a group offer and come to you and pray for you? I mean, what does that do in your own life to encourage you? How does it make you feel to know that there is somebody out there lifting you up in prayer? Now imagine that in the lives of the people that you're trying to encourage. Understanding encouragement and what it does in your own life is a step that's going to help you come to the place that you need to be to become the encourager you want to be. And the next step is probably one of the toughest steps that we will ever face in the life of encouraging. The next step is all about controlling the tongue. Now, words have power. You may not realize how much power are behind your words, but it is one of the most powerful things on this planet. I think I've always been a little bit aware of the power of words, especially the written word. I don't know if it has to do with my gift of encouragement, but I've always been very careful about the words that I've written down. I knew that the words were final and that there was no way to go back and change them. Words, written words, are unchangeable. But I never in my wildest imagination dreamed that the words that I wrote down might actually change others, especially when I was in high school. A few months back, a friend of mine's sister called. I had gone to high school with him, and his sister called me to let me know what an impact I had had on his life. He had passed away unexpectedly, and she just wanted to let me know that I had touched him. Now, I had not seen him in almost 20 years, so I had no idea what I could have possibly done that would have touched his life enough to make his sister, who I just barely knew, pick up the phone and hunt me down. she asked me about a quote. She said, do you remember this quote? You wrote it in his annual when you were a senior. And I remembered the quote. I used the quote all the time. It's from The Little Prince, and I put the book up there for you to see. I put part of the quote up there. But it says, when you're on one of these stars, I'll be living. On one of these stars, I'll be laughing. So when you look up at the sky at night, it will be as if all the stars are laughing. And when your sorrow is comforted, because time soothes all sorrows, you will be content that you have known me. You are my friend. And when you look up at the sky at night, you and only you will have stars that can laugh. I wrote that in his annual because I knew I was going a long ways away to college, and I knew I was his friend, and I wanted him to know that even though I was far away, he still had my friendship. She told me that day that that had so impacted his life that they were using the quote on his tombstone. Your words have more power than you can ever imagine. And not only do your words touch and mold the lives around you, but they mold your own life as well. Changing the habits of your life will always start by changing the words that you pour into your life. I want y'all all to take a moment right now to write down 5 statements about how you're feeling right this moment or in your life at this moment. Now, you're not going to have to share these with anybody. These are just between you and the paper, so be as completely honest as you can. If you have gotten the worksheets, you're going to find this particular worksheet is going to be the power of words. You're going to start each statement with I am. I've written 5 of mine right here. I want you to write your 5 I am statements while I continue to talk. You'll see mine. I'm not going to read them out loud. You can read them. You can appreciate them. We're going to move on. Y'all fill out your own I am statements. I grew up in a family where word play was a part of every day. My dad and my brothers and I seemed to delight in out being more sarcastic than the other. And it was really sad for my mom, who just did not get it because she was often the recipient of much of our sarcasm, and it delighted us all that much more that she didn't get it. But the words that we used in our game were just words. We didn't really mean anything by it. We were just all having a good time. The power of words is something that we often take for granted. You know, especially in our day-to-day living, we often throw in that little touch of sarcasm or maybe a joke or sometimes just a little teasing so that we can spice things up in the house. The words don't mean anything. They're only words. I mean, we learn in kindergarten that sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. I mean, how many of us have used or heard these particular phrases, maybe even today, in the few minutes that we've been up? You know, things like, I'm scared to death, or that was so funny I almost died, or I know if I get out there right now I'm going to wreck, or he gave me a heart attack. I am such an idiot. I am always so clumsy. You never get that right. You always leave me to do that alone. I will only mess it up like I always do. The worksheets are at the A Woman Inspired website, but all you need to do is put down 5 statements, I am, and then fill in the blank. You can do it on your own paper. You don't have to have the worksheets for that. These statements that I've just given you, I could go on and on with these statements because I've heard them most of my life. But even just recently around me, I have heard similar statements. They're casual statements that most people make about life or situations, and they mean nothing. Or at least that's the perception that's been given to words over the years. See, the truth is that every word we speak matters. It matters to your heart. Words matter to your mind. Words matter to the people around us. Words have meaning. Words and phrases may seem trivial, and they may even be used in a trivial manner, but that does not lessen the power that comes with each word that is spoken. Every word that you utter carries with it the power to create and the power to destroy. Not only does that power exist in your words, but we're also warned that we'll have to give an explanation for every single word that we use. Matthew 12:36 says, "But I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they will give an account thereof in the day of judgment." As you can tell, I'm a talker. My dad will tell you that I did not start talking until I was 2 years old, but that I have not stopped talking since that day. Most of my life, I have felt an overwhelming burden to fill any moment of silence. But when I read those words and I understood those words, that I was going to give an account for every idle word, I learned that maybe I needed to hold back. Having to explain my words was a scary enough thought for me, and it was enough to slow me down. But this summer, I attended the Southern Christian Writers Conference in June, and there was a speaker there that said something so profound, it made me want to quit talking. Now, I want you to think for a moment what phrase it was that God used in Scripture to name himself. You'll remember what I'm talking about. The Matthew Scripture was 12:36. Moses went to God just before. God had told Moses to go to Pharaoh and say, "Let Israel go." And Moses said, "Who am I to say has sent me?" And God said, it's just two words, "Tell them I am sent you." Now, I had never really thought about the power of that phrase or what was behind the phrase "I am" until Vanessa Griggs at that Christian Writers Conference pointed out that "I am" is the name of God. And not only is "I am" the name of God, but it's the name that God gave himself. So every time I speak the phrase "I am," I'm invoking the name of God. And the full force and power that comes with that name is poured out on whatever comes after the phrase. Now, that revelation shook the very foundation of what I consider to be normal and acceptable. I started changing the way that I spoke. Now I want you to look at your worksheet or your paper and your five "I am" statements. How have you been pouring out the name of God? The phrases that I wrote on that sheet were very difficult for me to write because I fully believe in the power of the "I am" phrase. But I wanted you to see the examples of how often it is that we use the power of God's name, the "I am" phrase, to release negative things in our lives. Building courage and releasing the creative spirit requires that we move past what's normal and acceptable. We have to reach beyond the good, and we have to expect the God in all that we do. I came home from that conference, and I shared the "I am" story with my family. And now my kids love to remind me of those moments when I'm pouring the power of God into something that maybe I should be rebuking. Anytime you give your kids the opportunity to call you out, I promise you they will call you out. It's just one more thing that pushes me to remember the good, the positive, and the uplifting. "I am" is the name that God gave himself. But remember, "I am" is not the only phrase that has power. Each word that you use has the power to heal a heart, or those same words can cut the heart like a sword. Think of things like this. You're just like your mother, or you're just like your father. You should learn to study like your brother studies. You need to stay away from that project. You know what happened last time you tried. You know, you never do anything to help me around this house. You always choose to do things with your friends over me. Now, this is just an aside, but it's something I want you to think about. If you're using the phrase always or never in your statement, the odds are you're treading on dangerous ground. That's just a thought I want you to think about. Words cannot and should not ever be taken lightly. Words are the very foundation that everything in this world is created upon. Just look in Genesis. And God said. Words created the world. Words are the only path to salvation. Scripture tells us to believe in our heart, but to confess with our mouth. That's how salvation comes. It was words that stopped the storms. And Jesus said to the sea, "Peace be still." Words have power. And words can be one of the most dangerous weapons known to man. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you that words are the only offensive weapon that Christians have in their arsenal. Just look at Ephesians 6. I use 13 and 17b. The whole thing is about the armor of God. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, stand, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." It's the only offensive weapon. Let me ask you, how have you been using your sword? Are you lifting up the people around you? Or are you tearing them down and cutting them up? Now, earlier I made those, what I would call hurtful statements, but they can be spoken in an encouraging way. Anytime you let the positive lead, encouragement can follow. Instead of "you're just like your father," how about "you've done things like your father for so long, but I can see that you're working to make that change in your life. What can I do to help you?" Or maybe you want to encourage your son to study because his brother does so much better in school, but you should never compare the two. So instead of saying, "You should learn to study like your brother," how about, "You know, to complete your schoolwork, you have to study more. What can I do to help you on that path?" Maybe they struggled in the last thing that they tried. But don't bring up that past. If you do bring it up, say, "I know things didn't go the way you wanted to last time, but that's okay. Let's get some internet videos or let's get some books from the library to help us work through this project." Use your words to reflect an issue in a positive light, and it will swing open the door to allow you to come in and encourage. But I caution you right now, if you speak positive words, make sure that your body language confirms what you're speaking. The people will notice if what you say does not correspond with how you say it. The thing that being positive does is it helps you to build up in your life an overflowing peace, and it allows you to pour that out over onto the people around you. And that positive feeling and that positive emotion will allow healing to enter into any situation that has come up. Now, if you are still questioning about the power of words, just skip on over to Proverbs and spend some time in there. I recommend you read through Proverbs every month. You know, just read a couple of Proverbs and focus on those. Proverbs is a perfect book for understanding the power that you release when you speak. Proverbs 12:18. "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." The things that you think and the things that you say really can bring healing to a situation. Now, several years ago, my husband called from school at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday. He was a drama teacher at one of the largest schools in Alabama. The only thing my husband said to me was, "I quit. I will be home later." And the only thing that I said to my husband was, "I will see you when you get here." My gut reaction was not that calm. I went into panic mode. My husband had the only income of our family. I had launched my freelance writing career, But I was nowhere near ready to handle the responsibility of the entire family budget. And besides, I mean, it was through his work that we had insurance, and it was through his work that we got his retirement. And there were just so many questions that poured through my head. It was hard not to panic. So I went outside and poured it out onto God and told God that I can't do this. And the more I talked to God and the more I poured it out on him, the more his peace began to fill me. And I realized that there was only one way I was going to get through this. And I began to chant in my head and in my words over and over again, God, I know you have this. By the time my husband got home, I was able to welcome him, to encourage him, to love him without any expectations. I did not understand anything that had just occurred, but I knew who had it in his hands. I knew God was in control, and the peace that that gave me was all that was necessary. See, sometimes you don't have to understand. You just have to have peace to be able to encourage others. And the words that I chose to speak, and especially the words I chose to think, were the words that allowed me to get poor healing out onto my husband. You want to choose words that will heal, and you want to always avoid those words that cut. Now, Proverbs 15:4, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit.
Growing Hope Radio is going to take one more short break, and when we come back, we'll finish up this journey into the nurturing creativity by growing courage.
Travel along with Cal, Chris, and Spencer as they search the Alabama Gulf Coast, Gulf Shores, and Fort Morgan to Dolphin Island, Fort Gaines, for a treasure hidden away by centuries.
You dare uncover the secrets held by Mystery Rock? Come along in Catherine C. Lang's new middle school tourism fictional novel series, Scouting Out Adventure. Get the first book, Mystery Rock, in paperback and ebook at Amazon.com or CatherineLang.com.
Got hope? Growing Hope seeks to instill the courage that your heart needs to live out the bold life grounded in hope. The monthly newsletter offers tips, inspirational stories, and scriptures to help grow up hearts that are open to pursue the extraordinary. Visit CatherineLang.com/promotion and sign up and receive a moment of hope, the Growing Hope monthly newsletter.
The music for this production was created by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution.
Welcome back to this final segment of Growing Hope Radio. I am still Catherine Lang, your ever faithful and faith-filled rainbows and lollipops host, guiding you into this life of peace and joy, courage and creativity. And that is just what we're talking about today, growing courage in the hearts and minds of the people around us so that we can open the doors for the creative spirit to flow.
I don't know how many of y'all have ever seen the movie Facing the Giants, but I think that is an incredible portrayal of what the right heart, the right thoughts can push you to. And in this movie, there's one scene where the football coach is running his team through some drills. And at this one particular moment, the players are doing just enough. You know, we all have seen people do just enough to get by, just enough to be good, just enough to be first, but not so much that we want to excel. I mean, let's not push ourselves. Well, the coach calls out one of his team leaders, one of the big players, and what happens is the one player gets on the ground on his hands and feet, kind of like a crab, and then another player gets on his back, and the player on the ground carries the other player across the field. Well, the coach blindfolded the player on the ground. And he said, we're going to go to the 50-yard line. And the player on the ground was like, I don't think I can do that. But the coach encouraged him. He pushed him. He stayed next to him in his face, telling him he could do it, telling him he could do it. And then all of a sudden, his teammates got in on it. And from the sidelines, they started cheering him on and encouraging him and telling him he could do it. And when the coach told him to stop, the player took off his blindfold And not only had he gone to the 50-yard line, but he had gone all the way into the other end zone. For those who don't know football, that means he went twice as far as he even thought possible. When the coach put that blindfold on, he took away what reality said was possible. And he made it possible for the player to reach beyond the limitations that the world had put on him. Now, in all sincerity, if the coach had reversed the drill and put the little player on the ground with the big player on top of him, odds are pretty good that more than his spirit would have been crushed. But true encouragement is not asking people to do things that are impossible for them. It's asking people to reach beyond the good enough, the expected, the ordinary, and to reach for the exceptional that lives inside themselves already. Every person is capable of more than what reality says they can do. But it takes courage to reach beyond the just good enough that the world says is possible, and to reach for that amazing and exceptional that lies outside our vision of reality. Proverbs 18:21 is another great verse about the power of words. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I heard a speaker once talk about a woman that had a potted tree in her bedroom, and the tree was perfect. It was perfectly symmetrical, and it was just the right decoration for that spot in the house, and it was perfect, except for one limb down at the bottom of the tree. And she told her husband, "I have to cut that limb. It just ruins the whole look of the tree." And every time she went by that tree, she thought, "I've got to remember to cut that limb. It just ruins it for the whole tree." The tree was perfectly healthy, and the tree was perfect except for that one limb. She came through one day, and she noticed that the leaves had changed colors. And a few days later, they actually started turning brown. And she took one of the leaves to her local garden club, and they said nothing was wrong with it. But then the leaves fell off, and pretty soon the limb died. Now, did her thoughts kill the limb? Well, I can tell you there was no natural explanation for the death of that limb. It's hard for us to imagine that the things we say and the things that we think are actually growing fruit in our lives. But they do. There will be a result from the words that you release. What's even worse to think about is that not only will it produce fruit, but that's going to be the fruit that we have to eat down the road. So I'm going to ask you, what kind of fruit will you be feasting on because of the words that you're releasing today? Words have power. It's better to choose the words that are good, the ones that build up the good, the positive, and the uplifting, and avoid those things that cut, maim, and kill. Now, those good words, those words are going to build courage in the hearts and minds around us. And that's not easy to do. Even in my life where I have walked this path of understanding words, I still slip. There are still times that I speak out of line. Now, sometimes it's an accident, and sometimes it's a willful misuse of the sword. I want to hurt somebody. Live in a house with all men that you homeschool, and you'll understand that there are times when pain is the only answer that you can come up with. But practicing encouragement daily has helped me to overcome those momentary slips, and more importantly, building a habit of encouragement keeps me from giving in to what the flesh wants to do. Practicing this encouragement has also taught me to be more sympathetic because I'm learning to discern when the situation is being driven by discouragement. See, discouragement can be like a gnat, you know, buzzing around your head. You can't really see it, but you know it's there. Discouragement can be like a fly that's you can see the fly, but it won't sit still long enough for you to swat it. And discouragement can be like the big giant red wasps. You know, they're mean and aggressive and painful, and believe me, you know when they're there. But no matter how discouragement appears, the thing that it does is it makes it impossible to concentrate on anything else. So we have to learn to know that discouragement is in the picture if we're going to eliminate discouragement, because you can't deal with something that you don't know is there. Discouragement is one of the greatest killers of creativity in the world. So recognizing discouragement is essential. Now, I'm going to go over some of them, but I've included them in the handout, and then I have them also here on the PowerPoint. There are a list of questions in the handout that you can ask, and I promise you, you're going to be surprised. When I first met my husband and married my husband, remember, I've known my husband for, let's see, I'll be 40 tomorrow, yay me, and I've known him since I was 12. And for most of my life, I thought my husband had an anger issue. He was quick to snap, and when he snapped, sometimes it would be heard around the world. But I began to recognize the signs of discouragement in his life about 8 years ago. It's one of the reasons, it's one of the reasons I had such a peace when he called me from work and told me that he had quit. I was blessed to have stumbled over how to encourage a man in your life a few years back. And since I have brothers and male cousins and all sons and just a father-in-law and then, of course, my husband, I knew I needed to know how to encourage men. Some of the things that you can look for with discouragement is going to cause people to zone out. Or I guess you could say it makes them develop tunnel vision. So discouraged people cannot really see anything outside the situation, their own circumstances. And sometimes that forces them to just not do anything, because it's better to not do anything than to have to deal with this particular circumstance. Discouragement at this level is often expressed with sleeping all the time, not having any energy, spending all their time watching TV or playing video games, or maybe if you have a hunter, that's where they stay. They stay out in the woods. They just don't deal with it. They can't deal with it. Discouragement has forced them into this little tunnel. Discouragement can also force people to become stuck in a particular time. Maybe they have a fear of failure and a fear of success will become equal. And so they're stuck in this one particular place. They can't go anywhere. The idea of change freaks them out. So they just prefer to stay where they are and not rock the boat. It's better than dealing with change. And these people you're going to recognize because they express no joy about their job or the committee but they continue to do it. Discouragement will also cause someone to be trapped in time. They can relive that moment over and over and over, and they can't get past it. They can't see today. They can't see tomorrow. They're too fixed on yesterday. And that discouragement is extremely easy to spot because you will hear them. That's all they'll talk about. That's all. Everything will be pointed back to that one moment. Discouragement will force people into a loser mentality. You'll hear another easy one to spot because you hear fail, can't, and never a lot from these people that are discouraged. They have so been crushed in their spirit that they truly believe in their heart they are not capable of doing anything right, ever. Discouragement will crush confidence. Past accomplishments will be forgotten. Any victories that they made will disappear. The only thing that they'll be able to see is the potential for failure. You'll recognize this particular discouragement because people that you once saw as bold and challenging and risk takers will suddenly be afraid to even, you know, make pancakes on his own or her own, or afraid to choose a restaurant, even if it's just for themselves. You know, they will need constant supervision in order to accomplish anything. Discouragement will always breed pessimism and negativity, and it will breed like kudzu. And if you don't know what kudzu is, let me just tell you, once it gets here, you can't kill it, and you just can't get rid of it. It's almost impossible to get rid of kudzu, and that's what happens when discouragement starts to breed pessimism and negativity. And it will continue to overwhelm people around it. The discouraged person sees the negative in everything. And they see the negative in the past moments. They see the negative in today's experience. They see the negative in the possibilities that they face tomorrow. It is all about the negative. It doesn't matter how educated they are. It doesn't matter how much experience they have. It doesn't matter what their talents are. All they can see is the negative. And this type of discouragement is extremely catching. So you want to nip it as soon as you can. And let's see how we can defeat discouragement. Because recognizing discouragement is important, but defeating discouragement is essential. Because you can't move on to encouraging without defeating discouragement. You want to be willing to give attention. Right here, give attention. You want to speak words of praise and show affection. We talked a little bit about that. You also want to offer support. Now, this means being willing to give assistance, but being just as willing to step back and not take control of the situation. You want to give approval of the person. You do not have to give approval of the actions. This is about acceptance, okay? And if you learn nothing else today or nothing else this week, please learn this one thing. You cannot change anyone else, ever. You cannot wish them to change, pray them to change, hope them to change, beg them to change, nag them to change. It ain't going to happen. And the sooner you accept that fact, the sooner you can accept the person where that person is in their walk. Again, you don't have to accept their actions or their attitudes or their words, but you do have to accept the person. And when you can accept the person, then you can show that person respect. Hang on one second. Oops. You also need to be willing to give touch, show encouragement, offer comfort. Aggressively attack discouragement with all the elements of encouragement that we've talked about. But I will warn you up front that the depth of discouragement that has ingrained itself in the person will determine the struggle that you're going to face with being an encourager. Keep one thing in mind. The light always wins. So just continue to focus on developing a life that is good and is positive and uplifting. Giving up on encouragement can never be an option. If what you try the first time does not defeat discouragement, try something else. Always, always, always spend time lifting the person up in specific prayers. Remember, the person that you're dealing with lacks courage in their lives. So continue to look for ways to cultivate courage. And once you start cultivating courage, then you give birth to creativity, and he will be able to fly again. See, the imagination gives birth to the extraordinary. Creativity is birthed by courage to step out beyond the normal way of doing things. It is creativity that is the leader to excellency. Creativity allows you to go places that you've never been and to accomplish things that you've never seen done. It is creativity that ignites the will to drive beyond good enough. If you take away courage, then you take away the will to thrive. Courage gives a person the ability to make that step, no matter how big a step or small a step or how comfortable or uncomfortable. Stepping out requires that fear be swallowed or overcome, and it's courage that makes taking that step possible. Discouragement just kills the ability to step out. It will hinder vision so that seeing outside the box is no longer an option. Discouragement causes the mind to change from possibility thinking to problem thinking. Discouragement locks people into the mold of typical and ordinary. achievements that exist outside the box, the mold that normal has created, can no longer be reached once discouragement sets in. The example that I've seen in my own life is my husband. And now, he was raised in a very negative environment. The people on his mom's side of the family and the people on his dad's side of the family all have a way of unlocking the negative in any situation that appears. His dad has the tendency to remind you over and over and over and over of any mistake that you've ever had in your last lifetime. His aunt never allowed him to try anything on his own. Even as a child, when he was doing crafts, she would hold his hands so that he did things the way she wanted them done. His discouragement has been so rooted into his life that I'm still uncovering sprigs of it in unexpected places. I mean, even going to the grocery store can be a challenge for him because he worries about picking the wrong thing, the wrong everything. I spend as much time talking to him about the different choices as I would if I had just gone to the grocery store myself. But I never tell him that, so please don't tell him. I try to encourage him to step out and try new things. But here's what discouragement's going to do to creativity. A person who is corrected every time he tries to do something will quit trying. A person who is yelled out for not doing things the my way of doing it will always wait to be told what direction to go. A person that hears nothing but complaints will do nothing but complain. And a person that is not allowed to dream will stay planted on the ground and will never learn to fly. See, my husband is an incredibly talented man. He can step on the stage and become any character that you ask him to be. His voice changes, his demeanor changes, even the sparkle in his eye changes to become that character. He is a gifted and talented dramatic performer. But the discouragement that was nurtured in his life has hindered him from ever stepping out beyond just good enough. My husband also has a natural gift and talent to see things as they can be. He has the ability to envision the potential. I mean, even when we moved our house to this present location and we put it on wheels and drove it down the highway, we chose the house we chose because he saw the bones and he saw what the house could be. He has an eye for possibilities. But I've watched discouragement so beat that man down that for a long period of time, he just quit. He quit trying. He quit seeing. He quit dreaming. See, even the most creative spirit will be crushed under discouragement. So it is important that you build up, foster courage in every way possible.
Helping others to grow up that creative spirit, to reach out in new and unexpected ways, can be a challenge in our lives when we don't understand courage and instilling courage in those lives. So invest in encouragement, and invest in encouragement for your own life. I want to be part of that encouragement. Let's connect. Let's grow up together. You can reach me over at my website, www.katherinelang.com. Now, I'll be here next week, same rainbows time, same lollipops place, and I hope to see you here. Until then, be blessed and be a creative blessing.
Thanks for joining us this week for Growing Hope with Katherine Lang. Katherine is a leader in encouragement, a networking specialist, and your Hope Smith extraordinaire. To learn more about Growing Hope, visit Katherine's website at www.katherinelang.com. That's www.katherinelang.com. Katherine is also available to speak or teach at your next event. Use the contact form on the website or email Katherine with queries or questions at contactus@katherinelang.com. If you are looking for more hope and inspiration for your week, you can sign up for the Reflections column that mails out each Sunday at www.katherinelang.com/reflections. And be sure to join us back here each week for Growing Hope, where Catherine shares her heart for encouragement and her vision for hope. Until next week, keep watching for that place where your heart is open to pursue the extraordinary.